The Veritas Radio Network is guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth.
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive.
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chowderhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe.
And your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerker's Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Are you ready? Let's get it on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
If David Simpson had been Jerry Maguire and showed Leon the true money, it would have hit him over the head like the proverbial ton of bricks. Gold bricks, that is. Let David Simpson show you the true money every Wednesday at noon Central, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
That's what I want.
All right, we are doing yeoman's work here on the Veritas Radio Network, the Crusade Channel, all a giant production of Mr. Mike Church. You got to thank Mike for this, you know. We were talking about it on this morning's Wisdom Wednesday. We mentioned that there's that bumper sticker that's kind of popular now. I don't trust the major media or whatever, or the left-wing media lies, all those things we see out there. And we say, hey, you know, if you don't like the major media and you know it's lying to you, well, maybe it's time to make a change. And I have just a suggestion for you here. You can sign up. Actually, you can get the Veritas Radio Network for free. For free! What does Mike say? Don't cost nothing? Something like that. You can get it for free. But I'm hoping that you're going to become impassioned by this, and you're going to say to yourself, you know what? I want to do more. I want to create a network that spreads the truth, that does research, that tries to uncover the reality behind these things and promotes the truth. And I'm hoping that you say, I want to join up and offer some money, maybe $8 a month, I think, is the cheapest you can get in over here if you're a cheapskate like me. $8 a month, and you are helping to grow the network that's going to take over the media that you don't trust. We're gonna overthrow them and put ourselves in charge and start only giving you the truth as we see it. I'm going to change my voice every now and then. I don't have a good radio voice, and I've told you I'm a novice at this, don't really know what I'm doing, so any helpful suggestions you want to give me, please do. You can contact me. Let's talk about that real quick. How do you get in touch with me? Well, you can call the radio number, 844-5-CRUSADE. That's 844-527-8723. And if you are shy, like some of my listeners, you can email me, David, at tffco.com. I will actually get those right now, and I can respond to your emails, or I can even bring up your question on the air if you like. So either one of those methods is fine to contact me. You know, I wanted to start off today's show. We have an incredible guest today, and I'm really happy and proud to have him on here. It's rare that I get to bring on a guest of this caliber, that someone who is truly an author, an authority in the subject matters that he talks about. He's a researcher, a writer, a media personality, an award-winning journalist, Mr. G. Everett Griffin, will be on with us in a few minutes. We're going to talk about his book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. I'm looking at my copy right here. I'm kind of going to brag here for a minute. I'm looking at my signed copy I received from Mr. Griffin way back in 1994. I was privileged to be able to bring him around the Dallas-Fort Worth area for all of his speaking engagements when the book came out. And he gave me a copy, of course, and he signed it for me. But the more important thing, which I'll talk about in a minute when we have him, is we are trying when I was talking to him, he gave me an incredible insight into what the Federal Reserve was. In about one sentence, he encapsulated the entire concept for me, and my life was never the same. I literally at that point understood money. I mean, I had a lot of learning and growing still yet to do, but I understood the game at that point and was ready to go and take it on, head on and fight it as best as I know how. So we're going to have Mr. Griffin on in a little while. And I hope you all will stick around, listen to that, and look forward to hearing his wise words. You know, I haven't really talked about what the True Money Show is all about. I mean, I've done three shows now. This is my fourth show. And I'm trying to make this show educational but also entertaining. But talking about economics and finance is not the most entertaining subject. I mean, it can be, but it's more entertaining usually when you're in a one-on-one conversation. And quite frankly, my style is not to be flashy and make a bunch of bold statements and to try to make all of you think, oh, my gosh, look how brilliant this man is. No, that's not really my style. My style is more I like to learn things fundamentally. I like to learn things from the ground up. I like to believe in what I've learned. I like to come to conclusion that I have answered or come to the right answer on things. And that takes a lot more discipline, a lot more time. And well, I guess what I'm saying here is that this is not going to be maybe as flashy a show as some that we have here on the Veritas Radio Network, but I'm hoping that if you stick with us long enough, you will come to believe that it is a deep and profound show dedicated to really understanding the nature of economics and finance in the world that we live in, what's wrong with it, because it is terribly wrong right now. And then maybe how to work against it, both personally, meaning how do you set up your own finances, and also how to work against it civilly, societally. How do we go and fight back the things that are wrong and fix them, which is actually the much bigger and more important issue. Well, so let's start with that. By the way, I have scheduled guests. I'm trying to schedule out about 3 months, and there's a reason for that. I am going to actually go point by point on each financial issue that I address with my clients when I work with them individually. In other words, I'm going to make this show a show that you could, if you listen to it for 12 weeks, you will hear everything I talk about to my clients in an actual meeting. I'm going to go through budgeting. I'm going to go through a savings program, a debt management process. One by one, I'm going to tackle each issue each week. The first several weeks, however, have been dedicated to setting up the concept of what's wrong with the finance. Why do we even need to have an attack? Why do we even need to have a plan? And I'm going to be coaching you on the defensive side of the ball. What do I mean by that? I mean that there is no way to attack what's wrong in our economy and fix it in our current status without some major political changes. And so until we have the political will to do that, we are unfortunately fighting a defensive war. Yeah, so I'm going to be coaching you on defense. And so I have to prove to you, I think, first and foremost, and that's really what these first 3 or 4 weeks have been about. I got to prove to you that there's a danger to be defended against. Is there a danger in the financial world to be defended against? Well, I am going to start that concept off, that idea off, with a letter that was written in 1943. You'll notice that Mike and I, we like history because we think history proves the points that we make. We can go back and look at subject matters and look at what other thinkers have said about these things in years past and come to conclusion. So here's the letter. It was addressed in 1943 to His Excellency, Most Reverend William Godfrey, the Apostolic Delegate to Great Britain, to the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury, York, and Wales. So in other words, this is written by some layman to an ecclesiastical authority in Britain in 1943. I'm not going to read you the whole letter. I want to read you maybe three paragraphs of important statements. Here it is. An essential first step towards the return of human happiness and brotherhood with economic security and liberty of life, such as will permit the Christian ethic to flourish again, is the immediate resumption by the community in each nation of its prerogative over the issue of money, including its modern credit substitutes. Now, that right there sums up almost what the True Money Show is about. We want to have a return of happiness and brotherhood with economic security and liberty of life. And to do so, we know that we have to have some control over the issue of money, including its modern credit substitutes. Continuing with the letter. This prerogative has been usurped by those still termed in general, quote-unquote, bankers, both national and international, who have perfected a technique to enable themselves to create the money they lend by the granting of bookkeeping credits and to destroy it by the withdrawal of the latter at their discretion. So here we see money manipulation, okay? Returning again to the letter. In this way, a form of national money debt has been invented. By the way, we have the same thing in America. The letter continues. In which the lender surrenders nothing at all, and which it is physically an impossibility for the community ever to repay. Any attempt to do so produces the artificial, quote-unquote, economic blizzard, as it did after the last war, 1914-1918 war. Okay, last paragraph I'm going to read. This has led to the gradual rise of a form of national, international, and supranational power, dominating through its monopolization of the national social credit all the basic creative activities of mankind. Thus, in this as in other countries, it has become impossible to obtain publication in the press or to broadcast on the radio. Hey guys, Veritas Radio Network is trying to broadcast this truth. Let me finish the letter here. Thus, in this, as in other countries, it has become impossible to obtain publication in the press or to broadcast on the radio the truth concerning this economic enslavement which holds the peoples of the world in thrall. I have, on the very front page of my website, an introductory observation, and it says that we are becoming slaves. And I've gotten lots of grief from people about that statement because they think I'm exaggerating, and they think that I'm just making fantastic statements to attract attention. And by the way, I was not, because I was very happy quietly sitting in my home waiting for the demise of this nation. I would prefer to sit on my back porch and smoke a pipe over making fantastic statements to attract attention. I made the statement because it was true. And so economic enslavement was one of the goals of the money manipulators. I'm reading it. By the way, that letter is in a book called Money Manipulation and Social Order, if you want to look it up. 1940. By the way, it was written by not just one man. It was signed, or maybe written by one person, but it was signed by dozens of people, some of them Nobel laureates, all complaining about the economic system in England, which, by the way, was exported to America, but as early as 1943. And of course, this complaint can go even further back. So, economic enslavement, it's a real thing. You can manipulate people through money. It is being done in our country in a national and international level. And one of the great players in that enterprise is called the Federal Reserve. And so, I think it's time maybe that I moved to my guest. But let me real quick explain to you again real quick who we have on. We have an award-winning journalist, an author, the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, amongst other things, and documentaries and books and articles. He's nationally known. He's founded an organization called the Freedom Force International. Wonderful man. Changed my life just by that one conversation in a car we had in 1994. So he's coming on the Veritas Radio Network, guys. This is you can call in if you're interested, 8445-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. I'm pleased and proud to bring on to the show Mr. G. Edward Griffin. Mr. Griffin, are you there?
Yes, I am, David. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm really proud to have you on. I was telling the audience before you came on that in 1994, I drove you around Dallas-Fort Worth. You were kind enough to sign a book for me. I still have it. I'm looking at it right now. But you told me a line, and the line, I'll say it now, and you can elaborate, was they, because I forgot the question I asked you, something along the lines of, well, I don't really get what the end goal of this thing is, I guess might have been my question. And you said, well, they've created a banking or money cartel. And immediately, it was crystal clear in my mind. What did you mean when you said that?
Well, I guess, that's sort of a shorthand answer to a complex question of what the Federal Reserve is all about and the banking system. And I guess to understand that answer, you have to ponder just for a moment what a cartel is. And, you know, a classic cartel is a association of or separate organizations which normally would be competitors in the same field, same business category. You know, a bunch of gas stations all competing with each other around town, for example, or a bunch of banks all competing with each other. But they come together and they form a cartel for the purpose of reducing that competition between them. And they draw up cartel agreements which contain very detailed provisions relating to the areas in which they will no longer compete. They may divide up territory, for example. Say you get the east side of town, I get the west side. And they may decide, well, you will open in the morning but close by such an hour, and we'll open in the afternoon and close by such an hour so that we're not competing with each other during certain peak hours. They may all agree to charge the same price for their gasoline, so that there's nice profit margin built in regardless, because nobody's competing with lower prices and things like that. And typically cartels layer one agreement on top of the other until finally the end result is, even though they are separate organizations, they operate as one single business.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole object is to reduce or eliminate competition to ensure their profit margins, and to guarantee that they stay in business and they're knocked out of the ring, not knocked out of the ring by some competitor. Well, that goes on. It's been going on for centuries, of course. But people don't realize the extent to which the world is cartelized now.
Yeah.
When you start looking around, open your eyes, and look at every industry, you find out that the reality of cartelization is so obvious everywhere. And the banks are perhaps the most clear example of all. That's what the Federal Reserve System is. It's not a government agency. It's a group of banks. Yeah. The biggest banks in the United States came together in 1910 and agreed to become a cartel and work together and stop competing with each other so they could regulate their own industry. And they sold the idea to Congress that this would be in the best interests of the people.
Yeah.
And sort of the congressmen went along with it because there were certain advantages to them also. But people thought that, well, this cartel is not a cartel. They think it's a government agency. They don't know anything at all about it. If you examine how it was formed and read the charter was a cartel agreement, but it was rewritten in a form that looked like legislation, and they called it the Federal Reserve Act. Was passed into law.
Right.
They took a cartel agreement and passed it into law in 1913. And so now you and I have to abide by the cartel agreement because it's law. And if we don't abide by the cartel agreement, then we go to prison. And that's why people think that it's a government agency, is because it has the power of government
right
behind it.
Well, you know, it's not unusual for monopolies or cartels to go to government to get their, what would you call it, their legitimacy and their enforcement arm, right? That's pretty common.
It's universal, actually.
Yes.
Without the government backing up these agreements, then they fall apart.
Well, let me ask you this. Did the banking cartel, did they keep this agreement strictly for non-compete, in other words, to do well in business, or did they have other agendas, do you think?
Well, that's a good question, because now we're dealing with motives, and it's hard to really know what another person's motive or a group of people's motive might be. But the way I look at that history, and I splashed around in it a lot, is that in the beginning, we're talking about the turn of the last century, it was primarily just a question of money, and these people wanted to have a corner on the money market. I mean, let's just think about it. Money is in the middle of just about every transaction in our human experience.
Yes.
And if you had a monopoly on the item that everybody must use every day in every transaction, and you get a little piece of the action every time it changed hands, I mean, that's a pretty good deal. Mm-hmm. So it was a prize. And I think that the main motive at that time was just to get in the middle of all those transactions, be protected in the profits by eliminating competition. But now, with the passage of time, you know, the old question arises, well, after you have all the money in the world, and, you know, you've got your three or four homes and your yachts and your airplanes.
Right.
And, all the huge investments and everything. Now, does life get boring? I believe it probably does for some of these people. Now, what else is there other than money? And, you know, where that goes. Power. Power. See, money, the only reason money is of interest is because money is a form of power.
Yes, sir.
It's really power that we're talking about.
Right.
People want power over other human beings, and that's the attraction. That's the magnet. And so I think that after, about 1910, 1915, around in there, this element of power began to become more and more important than just the money. Now, what other kinds of power is there, or are there, I should say? And that would be, well, political power,
sure.
Social power.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the money began to go, is to buy up control over political systems. And then the dream crept in of about a new world that they could control. You know, they have political influence behind the scenes. They could have control over legislatures and governments, and finally a world government. And all these grandiose ideas came into it.
Well, you're listening to the True Money Show, coming to you from the Bulldog Kia Studio in Mandeville, Louisiana, the Veritas Radio Network. I've got as my guest Mr. G. Everett Griffin, the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island. We got about a minute before our break, and so I don't want to get too much into the book just yet. I was going to ask you, Mr. Griffin, I've got the first edition, I think. How many editions are there of the book just yet?
Well, there are five editions, official editions, but there are about, I think it's 38 or 39 printings now.
And you still get a pretty good sales return? I mean, they're still buying these things off the shelf?
You know, that's an amazing thing. The sales on this book just continue to gallop along, and they become a little better every year. And the amazing thing is that we do nothing to promote it. Absolutely nothing.
Well, let me tell you who is promoting it. There's a friend of mine in town who got this book, and he asked me, it was funny, he didn't know anything about me, really. We just made acquaintance in kind of the conservative circles. And he says, have you ever heard The Creature from Jekyll Island? I said, I not only heard it, I met the guy who wrote it. I talked to him, you know. And he was dumbfounded by that. Well, he has started a group at his church, and the requirement for the group is to buy the book and read it before you start.
Yeah, well, that's what we found, is people are so amazed at this history. And it is history. This is not conjecture. It's well-documented history. And they're so amazed when they come across it to think that this is so important and so obvious and so in your face, and yet they never heard about it before. It's a jolt. And so naturally they want to say, hey, they go to their friends, hey, have you read this book? And that's how it goes.
Wow. Well, listen, we're going to take our first break here. But you're listening to The True Money Show. I've got Mr. G. Everett Griffin. I think you can already tell he's got a wealth of knowledge to share with you guys. I hope you'll stick around and listen. I've already got some questions coming in from email. We'll get to those in just a minute. And we'll come back. Call us if you'd like, 844-5-CRUSADE. I'm David Simpson. You're listening to G. Everett Griffin on The True Money Show from the Veritas Radio Network.
Money is the root of all evil. But on The True Money Show, you'll learn that the Federal Reserve is the root of all evil money. The True Money Show with David Simpson, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel.